Now, hopefully it's been enlightening. You've learned a few things. You've seen places that, honestly, even if you went to Israel, the likelihood of you seeing all these places is very, very small. You could only see a sample in the time that you were visiting. Now, Ed, you've been there three times?
Twice.
Sarah, once? Anybody more than twice? Well, you went, and one of them was over in Jordan, right? At Tel Amum?
Both of them.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, have you ever seen the Madaba map? Okay, well, I'm going to be showing pictures to class today. That's a thing that a lot of times people kind of miss. Anyway, let's open in a word of prayer. And like always, I do some review with a little addition, and then we'll drive forward, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and giving us so much. Lord, as we deal with the resurrection, God, would you just be honored in our desire to know more about you, to see how the people that knew you, personal, up close, they themselves were shocked at your resurrection. Thomas, he was doubtful or just demanding to really know. Lord, may we be like Thomas, though, once we've got the facts, that our response would be absolute. Lord, he gave his life in your service, and may we follow in his footsteps, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dun, 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 dun. Joseph of Arimathea. Now, everybody, where is Arimathea? I'm sure you can find any of your Bible maps, and you go marching around, and they got a spot on the map. Arimathea, right? Sure they do. All right. It just so happens that if you went and said, I want to know where Arimathea is today, they could take you to some three or four places. And we'll also see that's true of Emmaus. We don't know absolutely. The oldest known map of the Holy Land in relatively great detail is a thing called the Madaba map. The Madaba map, Madaba is a city, and in it is St. George's Church. This was built in the 1800s, but they built it over a 5th century church that had a map of the entire Holy Lands as part, a mosaic map of the entire floor. Now, there's portions of it that are missing, but how often do you get to get in your hands a 1800-year-old map? A map of enough detail that they actually had people walking on it all the time, says, yep, that's this, that's that. All right. So here it is. It's called the Madaba map. That's Jerusalem right there. There's pieces missing. That's the Dead Sea. This is going towards the ocean. This is east, this is west, and that's north. Now, what's kind of important is Arimathea is out north of Jerusalem. But what's nice here, it also gives us a perspective what the main streets of Jerusalem were like during this period of time. Main streets, the cardio, remember our heart, that's the same word we use for heart, but it's the center part of us, the cardio of the city of Jerusalem, and that is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And at the time, it was not even quite 100 years old when this map was made. And there again is Arimathea. It's spelt a little bit different, but that's Arimathea. So, if you could figure out on that map the distance, you'd have a pretty good idea where it would land. Now, Lod is, Jerusalem is down here, it's north. Lod is where many experts can currently say that Arimathea is located. Now, if you read the four different accounts we have in Scripture of Joseph of Arimathea going before Pilate and begging the body of Christ, Some say he was begging. Some, it was almost demanding. So let's read Luke chapter 23, verse 52. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we knew what is driving Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, to get the body and bury it. What's the driving function? There's a time in the future where they have to have it in the ground before. What was the time? What? The Sabbath starts at what time? Sundown. So the sun is waning. These events have happened. Okay? That is right around 6 o'clock. They have to have Jesus buried by that time. And sundown is driving the story. Now, it just so happens, I'd like you to turn to the book of John. We covered this a little bit last week. Book of John, chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of what? Myrrh and aloes. All right, myrrh and aloes. And about 100 pound weight. Now, 100 pound weight, we talked about that last week, but they removed Jesus. We talked about it. How did they normally remove people off of the cross? They just basically whacked on them until they fell off. Cut the ropes and they would come off. But they carried Jesus more than likely in what would become his burial shroud to some flat stone, and they would have prepared him. And notice this guy. This is Tausert's painting. We talked about this last week. In almost every painting of them actually moving the body of Jesus, they put up, it's church tradition, that the actual centurion that kneeled at the cross and said, "This is the Son of God," actually joins Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to remove the body of Jesus and bring him down. How did you feel the moment you believed? Do you remember? Some of you maybe are a little older, but I was overjoyed. I was only about 14 years old, 15 years old, and I was at a church youth event, and I had never talked to a girl in my life before. They were too embarrassing. I stayed late after everybody went downstairs for ice cream and goodies and stuff. And the guy came and witnessed to me. I've told you about the guy that looked like Santa Claus. And I got saved that night. And I was just ecstatic. And I talked to two girls that night coming down the stairs, going to the downstairs. I didn't normally do that. There was something different about me. I had joy now. And the truth was, even though I got confused and stopped going to church before I went in the service, I knew what right was. And when those guys came to my barracks door, it was like God giving me sunlight in the dark hole I put myself. Now, myrrh. What's myrrh? Yeah, tree sap, pitch, okay? And it's not very easy to get to, is it? These things got hideous spikes on them. Now, the older trees, they've trimmed off most of them, but when you really want to get to the good stuff, like in the younger trees, it's really hard to get to. Now, this is bulk myrrh. It's kind of reddish color. This is the cheap stuff, all right? The cheap stuff. This is what's in my little, you know, three gifts of the Magi gift. But myrrh actually has different grades to it, and this is myrrh. Notice a little lighter color. And here's frankincense, which is bright yellow. And then here's even a lighter version with frankincense even lighter. But you can buy these same spices even today. Now, so they had myrrh, and what else was brought? Aloe. And now, some people down through history has claimed it's been sandalwood. Some of you, if you ever look on your perfumes, an earthy smell. But it's very, very beautiful. If you can make, if there's a big enough tree, you can put pieces of it like in a cedar chest or some kind of box, and it makes it smell nice. Or agarwood. And how did I describe to you about agarwood? This core that's dark brown. Imagine a tree when you chop the outer piece off. The smell is absolutely, it's like you just fell into heaven. Okay? And it's a bacteria that causes the center part of the tree to go south, okay, to make the nice smell. Wouldn't it be nice when you drop a Christian into a real difficult situation, all of a sudden their true beauty get revealed? Wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't always work out that way. But my vote is for the aloes, because there's aloe plants that actually grow in the Sinai Desert and into Africa, and they harvest them just like the aloe that you'd use for sunburn and other things. Now, 100-pound weight, we talked a bit about this. The word there is 100, hekaton, and litra, all right, or libra, and that's basically a Roman pound. It's worth about 329 grams, or about 72% of a modern pound. Now, there's some pretty good burly guys in here that could carry 72 pounds a mile or two and then use it, right? I'm thinking 72 pounds and I'd be pretty much used up at the end. Okay, here guys, you take care of everything. Now, a libra, all right, we actually have lots of examples. This came from Pompeii that was buried, but it's a scale. It's a has a different kind of, it's a hang point. And these are weights. These are libra weights. This is a quarter libra. It's a stone like what would be used on like a pan scale. This one was actually found in Egypt. But libra, the scale. Any of you a libra? Your birthday? All right. I don't remember when it is. I'm a Pisces. I'm in February, okay? I don't remember any other date. Simply, some people, I was a sailor, so they called me fishy. So, but notice something. The woman with the scales was in Roman times called Libra because of the pound, the weight, the truth. The weight is the justice. Nowadays, if you see the lady personification of justice, there's two additions that you don't see over here. The blindfold, which happened about the 1600s, was added, and the sword, which is had in the 1800s. If you look back, Lady Justice and Time statues, you'll see those things. But Libra, okay? And they placed Jesus in the tomb, all right? You just read on. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore before the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Why did they put him in Joseph of Arimathea's sepulcher? Convenience. Remember, the clock is ticking. How many of you would like to go to a funeral where the clock was ticking? You got to get it all done. How spiritual would you feel about that time? How much memory would you spend? This was done literally on the fly. The time was moving on. Let's get back to Luke. Luke chapter 24. Unless we got a couple other things. Now, what is the two most likely locations for Jesus' burial? We've talked about them. The two. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, right? Or where you the Garden Tomb, all right? Which is right next to it's really close to Skull Hill, Golgotha. By the way, underneath the Church of the Holy Sepulchre are these first century tombs. This isn't where Jesus was buried, if this is the location. But they have these first century tombs there to prove that in the quarry, people had already started putting tombs in there during the first century. Okay? Now, what is this called? There's a name for this. This is the big building inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It's called the Utica, all right? And you go through these doors. Remember I showed you the picture of the big dome and that building inside the big dome? You go through these doors, and you get into the anteroom. Did you get this far, Ed, when you visited? And you went inside. And that is the tomb of Jesus, if that is the location. And that's the traditional tomb of Jesus. Okay? Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That would be somewhat of a challenge. There are different aspects of both sides. There's weaknesses to both sides. But these are the two. This is the traditional sites. It's got a lot of history. People have been bowing at that stone for over 1,000 years. Okay? Yes. Oh, I didn't know that. The picture would kind of not lead you to that perspective. And there's a better picture of the tomb. All right, there's the garden tomb at night. Did any of you ever go there at night? Okay, there's the garden tomb at night. And that would be the location where Jesus was laid. That's the head pillow, the stone pillow, with his feet down there. These are some examples of what it would look like for the stone to roll. This one, people confused as the Herodian tomb. It was found close to the King David Museum in Jerusalem, but it still has its rollable stone in place. A lot of the rollable stones have been rolled, and people grabbed them or used them, or they broke over time. Remember, well, Jews didn't bury a lot of wealthy, valuable things with their people. But a lot of people who didn't know anything about Jews wouldn't know that. And that's another close-up picture. But it's not big enough for a person to kind of walk through. It's kind of like what Ed was saying. You're going to have to bow down to go into the tomb. This one is a little bit different. This tomb is actually in Jordan, and the big stone rolled this way. But they actually used a spot under a natural rock outcropping. See, some people cut tombs. Others use the natural lay of the land, all right? Like Abraham, the cave where he buried Sarah was a natural cave, all right? And we have two of the ladies that after everybody left, okay, two of the ladies that stayed. We have evidence to that. But so it's nighttime. And then the Jews come, and let's get to the book of Matthew, another event that's rather interesting. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will what? So the Pharisees are believing Jesus. What about the disciples? We'll see a little later that they had trouble believing that he rose from the dead. But the Pharisees were certainly, and the Sanhedrin was certainly interested. Verse 64, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. Now there's actually been doctoral theses written on how many people are in a watch. Okay? How many people are in a watch? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Pete, you and I are Roman soldiers. We volunteered. It's a 25-year gig. Okay? But how do they treat us? They treat us good? No. Okay? The Roman government doesn't bury us. We have to join each other in a burial club. So if you die, I bury you. Or I die, you bury me. That's kind of our... Okay. Now, if we ever fail in our performance of our duties, what kind of punishments might we receive?
Somebody's going to get buried.
A matter of fact, yeah, the burial club's got to invoke. It just so happens if you fall asleep on watch, your life is forfeit. If a prisoner escapes under your charge, they have a choice. They can either have you carry out their sentence, or the burial club gets to do their duty. Okay? So you can imagine, falling asleep on watch was really of a great concern. So we know by Roman law, or by Roman history, we've got plenty of written evidence, that the Romans divided the night into four watches. And normally, you would always have two watchmen so they could keep each other awake, because no one wanted to end up going to the burial club. It's not like, you know, Sam's Club or something like that. Okay? So, we know, for with high confidence, there was at least eight. There are some people who said that an entire cohort would have came as the watch. If the cohort would have came, that would have been 60, and it would have been led by a centurion. Since this is a Roman, they got the permission for these guys from Pontius Pilate. This is actually a Roman watch. But you can imagine some of the temple guards were there just to report on what was going on. Okay? So they sealed the tomb. Probably either put stone latches, actually drove in stone anchors and tied it off. This one is from the Passion of the Christ movie. And this is the stone, and they actually set stone anchors in and ropes, and these wax seals, it will not come open. Because if those wax seals are broken, Pete, we get to go to the burial club, right? All right, it's really a bad situation. If Jesus comes out of that tomb, we're in real trouble. Well, I don't know. Well, we'll see. They kind of were all right. Sunrise, first day of the week. But let's read on. Let's get verse 28 here in Matthew. And the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and did what? Here I am. Pete and I are standing there in our Roman garb. All right. We got the last watch. Things are going good. It's the third day. We're going to get away from this watching the rock business. Okay? And all of a sudden, earthquake. Glowing being grabs stone, chucks it off to the side, and just parks. Now, Pete, you and I have been seen some pretty hairy things together. But let's read what the response of these gentlemen is. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. In ancient times, how many things could you find that were white as snow? Most cloth was not white as snow. It was some almost white, earthy kind of tone. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Maybe, let's play dead. We're going to play possum, right? He just chucked the rock. We don't want him to get upset. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he laid, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he may rise from the dead, that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto what?" They have directions. These ladies, there are three of, at least three, okay, are supposed to go and tell the disciples, "Guys, he's risen, head up to Galilee." Okay? "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with" what? "Fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go unto" where? "Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch which came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done." So can you imagine Pete and I running into the city? Chinky, 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 chinky. You can't believe this, what we just saw. You're Roman soldiers. If it was a cohort, you had a centurion. And they're not talking to Pilate because they know what the answer is going to be there. When a whole unit fails in its mission, they use a process called decimation. They will decimate the unit. They will literally line them up, and they will kill every 10th person. That's called, when you decimate somebody, that's killing every 10th person. Chop, 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 chop. Ooh, we don't want to be decimated. Okay? And of course, Pete and I were on watch. They're going to throw us under the bus instantly. Okay? "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, had taken counsel, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers." When in doubt, buy a lie. Okay? "Saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." If there was one thing about Romans, you could buy them. And who had access to the temple treasury? Okay, when in doubt. I don't know if you ever watched superhero movies, but in the most recent one, Justice League, the person asked him, "Well, what's your superpower?" And you know what he responds with? "I'm wealthy. I'm rich. That's my superpower." Bad thing to be teaching little kids, I'm thinking. But I always liked this picture I showed you last week, but this one's even better. Here they are. You know, Pete and I are just kind of standing there. Remember, the Lord was already gone when the angel chucked the stone away. All right? And that's from the inside of one of these tombs with the rollable door. Now, here's all the soldiers kind of, and the ladies are peeking around and seeing the angels inside. I like this one. It's that sign. This is on the door to the garden tomb. "He is not here, for he is risen." And I always love this picture because it's kind of towards evening, but it's got soft light. It looks like the garden that is described for us in the scriptures. Let's get back to Luke. So we have the ladies heading back, right? Now, if the resurrection happened, which it did, if it happened at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, at Easter, they have very large Christian services there. Remember I showed you how many different traditions worship in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There's like, I don't know, six or seven of them, major denomination, major traditions. And they literally celebrate Easter based on their calendars. So you could have Easter celebrations in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre over a whole week span. Okay? And that's the utricle, and that's the big dome, and that's a glass piece that sunlight comes in. Remember, this was built before the days of electric light. So they needed light to come inside. That's the utricle. This is an older picture because you can still see the metal supports that were on it. That's all been, it's been repaired now. But they're supposed to go to Galilee, right? These are some pictures of Galilee. That's Mount Hermon, one of the key sources of water for Israel. And you can still see the snow on top. And some other areas of Galilee. And that's the Sea of Galilee. And down here is Magdala. Magdala down here, the plain of Gennesaret, the Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, and Bethsaida. This place, Jesus would have been just as familiar as you are with your hometown. When I go to Spokane, I don't remember all the street names and stuff, but I know how to get to where I need to go because it's home. And where were the disciples supposed to go? They've received direction. Mary and the Mary and Joanna and the other ladies have all received direction from angels and from Jesus himself to tell the disciples where they're supposed to go. Galilee. Right. Let's read on. This is Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about it, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you that he was yet in Galilee. These women had heard Jesus' sermons, had overheard when he was doing personal talks with the disciples, that I need to be crucified, but I will rise again on the third day. All right? Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all the things unto the 11 and to all the rest. So there was more than just the 11 there. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. What do you mean we're supposed to pack up and go to Galilee? You're crazy people. Then Peter arose and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself that which was come to pass. Now, Luke only mentions Peter, but we know by the book of John, John joined him. So here you have this group of people that already get their one report. Okay, there's Mary Magdalene's home. And they've done some excavations now of Magdala, and these are just some pictures of the houses. I've never been to Israel, but they must have more rocks than any place on the planet. Maybe Scotland and Ireland have more rocks, but Israel's got rocks. They make everything out of rocks. Okay. By the way, this is the Russian Orthodox Church, the Church of Mary Magdalene. It's on. It's located on the Mount of Olives. It's quite a beautiful structure. If there's anything about Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox, they have very beautiful architecture. Not a whole lot of spiritual life, but they have good architecture. So, if they were at the tomb, here's the traditional site. They would have. This is the model at the Jerusalem. The Israel Museum, they would have ran back what is normally the upper room. This is if the burial was at the garden tomb. The garden tomb would have been here. This is the location of modern Jerusalem today. That's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, remember, the Syrian Orthodox Church claims that they have the true upper room, which was Mark's home. But the traditional one is located in a different spot. And here's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and a close-up of where they would have had to have run to go tell the disciples. Okay. Now, we're going to have... Man, I only got 7 minutes. 7 minutes. I can't do this in 7 minutes. This is one of my most favorite parts. Let's talk about Luke for a minute. The name Luke, is it Jewish or Greek? It's Greek. It appears, what was Luke's profession? He was a doctor. So detail is kind of important to him. Sometimes things really don't matter, but then there's other times that are very detailed. Let's read here, verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day unto the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about what? 70 furlongs. First of all, if I asked how many of you, how long is a furlong? You'd say, nice British term maybe. But the truth of the matter is, in the Greek is a specific word. There's Emmaus right now. That is about 25 miles away from Jerusalem. So the question would be, okay, the Bible says 70 furlongs. So we got 60 furlongs. Does that equal 30, 35 miles? The answer to that is no. Okay? First of all, that word is called stadion. That's the actual Greek word. It's the word where we get our term stadium from. Okay? Stadion. Now, stadion is the term, but the root is stadia. It's 607 feet, and we know that because we can measure the buildings that were stadia at the time. 607 feet, which equals 8.7 stadia to the mile. So we got 60 of them, right? The Circus Maxima was actually 2 stadia long on each side. Now, do you think we build pretty cool stadiums today? Got big roofs, really cool thing. Did you guys know the Colosseum had a roof? Didn't you guys know? What? The Colosseum had a roof. They actually had a whole complement of sailors that would come and literally put, it was made out of sailcloth, it was actually over where the people sat. The main center was dirt. If it was raining, it would rain there. But everybody else was out of the weather. All right? And that, to me, is probably one of the best portrayals of the Circus Maximus. It was the greatest stadia or stadium in the Roman world, and everything followed after it. And that's what a small one would look like. That's exactly 1 stadia long. So how long is a stadia? If you want to have just a simple, how many of you guys have been at a football game? How long is the football field? How many feet? It's 100 yards, right? So you have 300 feet long, right? A stadia is twice that, 607. So imagine taking your football field and just stretching it out, okay? These were used primarily for running events or for gladiatorial combats. But try to run 607 feet. Anybody? Anybody here a marathoner? Anybody a marathoner? Me, my only politics is anti-running. Okay, I don't do running very well. Okay? But these guys are going to walk just about 7 miles. With 8.7 stadia to the mile, Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, depending on where you measure that from. Probably from the walls. Okay? But let's read on. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Imagine if you were in Jerusalem for this Passover. Your friend, your Messiah, was murdered. And then people came running in. These crazy ladies. Sorry, ladies, every once in a while get a little crazy. My daughter's one. If you ever want to see, Sarah, the singer one, when she was little, she'd go into a stupid, and she never liked taking pills. So one day, I literally had to throw water in her face. Take your pill, dear. you see it on the movies. Now they're probably child abuse, but it worked for her, okay? It worked for her. And they talked about what had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew himself near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Okay? Imagine, here you are talking, and a person just walks up beside you and perhaps comes in the middle and starts having a conversation with you. Remember the Bible, Old Testament? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. A lot of people look at the Lord, I think, incorrectly. He wants us to love him out of an open heart. There's no gun to our head. The only gun is the one we hold there, our own sin. And it just so happens, here's Jerusalem, and here's the old Roman road that heads out west of town. They would have had to have gone on that road and come this way. The freeway, some of you have probably been on this freeway going around into Jerusalem from the west, follows. And now, Roman roads, were they kind of like our cement sidewalks to walk on? No, they weren't. A little bit of roughness there. And imagine, you're breaking out your best pair of sandals to go on this hike. Okay? No. And I didn't have tennis shoes back then, sister. All right? Now, there's several places. This place is about 3.5 miles. It's too close to Jerusalem. This place here is about 20 miles away. And this one, Abu Ghosh, is about 5 miles away. It's still not far enough. Moza is the one I first showed you the picture of, but there's a whole bunch. I even have in my files at home for Dallas Theological Seminary, doctoral student wrote his doctoral paper on where is Emmaus. And there's about 15 different locations mentioned in this paper, but I wouldn't bore you with all of them. The point is, we really don't know, but we know how far it was. About 7 miles. Now, how far are you going to walk in 7 miles? I mean, how long is it going to take you to walk 7 miles? Well, sandals, rough roads. I tried to look up online how many miles people can walk, and then he started talking to me. Well, this guy walked 140 miles in 24 hours. It was in 1987. You know, one of these super walker guys. I'm not so sure we'd get that far, or they would either. Okay. Well, we'll go and follow with these guys next week. I'm running out of time, and Davey isn't here, so he must be on vacation. He's not. Is he? Davey's here? Okay. Well, normally he would be in by now. I have 10 till. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We ask, God, that you just watch over our week. May we be a testimony for you. Lord, just bless the service to come, and may you just be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.